I speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. In our lessons from the Hebrew Scriptures, we have been hearing the story of Jacob. And I love Jacob, but I get it if you don't. He has a pretty long list of deeds that are less than stellar. He seems to trick or betray virtually every member of his family. And right when everyone is about to come after him, he bolts and runs away for 20 years. Jacob is the quintessential trickster, and it is hard for people to like him, especially those of us who have been raised with a deep respect for authority. Jacob is a trickster, but he is someone who God continues to stand behind and to bless. Now, I want to go back a few weeks to the beginning of this saga. Jacob took off after stealing his brother's birthright. And it's really more than that. It isn't just the family inheritance. It is the covenant that God made with Abraham. The covenant said that Abraham and his family would be a blessing to all nations. Essentially, that through Abraham and his family, God would restore creation back to how it was in Eden. This covenant was passed from Abraham to Isaac and was supposed to go from Isaac to Esau. But Jacob tricked his blind father into bestowing that blessing onto him. And with his twin brother ready to kill him, their mom sends him off to her family's land to find a wife among her people. And this marks the beginning of Jacob's 20-year journey. Now, during those 20 years, he was blessed with two wives, 12 children between his two wives and their two servants. He has built a large flock of livestock and has become quite wealthy. But he misses his home, and he's finally willing to go back and see his brother still wants to kill him. So here we are, 20 years later, and Jacob is getting ready to go back to his homeland. Now, being the trickster that he has split his family up and sent them off in an act of some sort of self-preservation. And yet again, like at the beginning of his journey, he finds himself alone in the wilderness, just like he was when he had his dream of the ladder going from heaven to earth. So Jacob is alone in the wilderness. And of course, God shows up. The scripture says that they wrestled until the break of dawn. Now, it's sort of weird, isn't it? Can you sort of believe the audacity of Jacob? Who does he think he is, wrestling with God? But this is one of those places where I really find a way to identify with Jacob, and I think we all can learn a little bit. See, before I started the process of becoming a priest, Sarah and I helped lead a family camp at Peterkin, the diocesan church camp for West Virginia. And she worked with the little kids, and I often took on the class with the teenagers. And one of the things that I used to do with the teens is I would encourage them to go off into the woods by themselves for a bit and pray. And if they needed to yell at God. I would tell them that they could scream at God, like really let God have it if you need to. Because I think that wrestling with God is really important. Because God wants nothing more than to be in relationship with us. Quite frankly, sometimes relationships need to be aired out. Relationships have conflict. All relationships have conflict. And getting that energy out of the way is often the first step in the healing process. So yes, Jacob and God go round and round. And when the dawn comes, God leaves Jacob, but not before leaving God's mark. Jacob is transformed by his encounter with God. Jacob is left with a limp. See, when you wrestle with God, you can almost always count on leaving transformed. Now, I'm making this bit up a little bit, but I really believe Jacob was tired of running. I believe Jacob was ready for a change, because what comes next is one of my absolute favorite moments of scripture, and it's cut out of the lectionary altogether. So I'm going to read it because it's really, really important. Now Jacob looked up and saw Esau coming, and 400 men with him. So he divided the children among Leah and Rachel and the two maids. He put the maids with their children in front, and Leah with her children, and Rachel and Joseph last of all. He himself went on ahead of them, bowing himself to the ground 7 times until he came near his brother. But Esau ran to meet him and embraced him and fell on his neck and kissed him, and they wept. Esau comes to Jacob, and there is this great moment of reconciliation. One of the very best moments of reconciliation, I think, in all of Scripture. See, Jacob has spent 20 years fearing and wondering whether his brother wanted to kill him. And when they meet, there is weeping and a tremendous outpouring of love. So I think that Jacob and his wrestling match was a way that God prepared Jacob for this moment. Reconciliation is heavy work. And it's fair to say that it takes some wrestling with yourself and with God. And one of the major misunderstood parts of reconciliation is how much it takes out of the person being forgiven. Because forgiveness, honestly, is really uncomfortable. If you've ever done something really bad and been forgiven for it, you know it's a hard feeling to sit with. And Jacob, he has a history of running away when things got hard and awkward. But now, after this wrestling match with God, he was transformed into someone who could run away no longer. He had to stand and face his brother. Jacob lived in fear for 20 years. And when he stood and faced his fear, he was greeted with grace, love, and complete forgiveness. And that's why I love this story, because I think it shows us so much about God. God watched and cared for Jacob, even in his selfishness. He blessed him with a family while he ran away. God wrestled with Jacob when he needed it. And God transformed Jacob into someone ready to receive grace and forgiveness. Jacob shows us that our God is always present with us. But sometimes we have to go off into the woods, spend some time wrestling, so that we can be made whole again, transformed, forgiven, and loved. Amen.